Hello, it is a little mental health project here. It's been a minute, but we've got some exciting content for this episode over here. As you know, my name is Mwai, and I have basically been operating on Instagram for a while and just checking out what other people are doing. We are all about mental health and wellness. And I came across somebody's really like eye-catching and just really intriguing content and just capturing content on fatherhood, on men and all of that. And I literally have been following the page and just like, no, this is this is something I'm trying to see, like this is something I want to engage with, because of, a whole bunch of things that we'll get into in the conversation. But I would just like to introduce our guest today. His name is Derek, and he runs the podcast, the Dear Son podcast, basically. Derek, would you mind introducing yourself just to a little tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. Derek Johns. I go by D Johns. First of all, thank you for having me on your platform. I'm honored to be here. Interested to getting to know the both of you throughout this conversation. And I have a general interest in various countries in Africa, planning to visit in 2024 with my family. To that end, I am a father of five, husband to one wife. My children are 19, 17, 15, 9, and 8 today. Three girls, two boys. And we currently reside in the state of Texas, in the United States of America.
All right, cool. Love that. Kalina, would you like to take it away over here?
Yeah, hi, my name's Kulina. Kulina Kambule, like I said. I am the founder of the Little Mental Health Project. And as everybody knows on this podcast, I mean, our listeners, apart from Derek, of course, that I'm extremely passionate about mental health. And I believe that there's so much healing and vulnerability, and there's so much healing when we come together and we're able to talk about what we're, what we're going through, what we're struggling with. And so I'm just really excited to have Derek on board with us today, because I absolutely have been eating up his content. I am not on IG, but Mwai has just been sending me these little snippets like, oh my gosh, you definitely need to see this. You definitely need to see this. So I'm just excited to dive into this conversation and just pick your brain on what fatherhood looks like. And I think you mentioned what fatherhood, I mean, raising your children or raising your son in a way that, is different from how the previous generation did it, and in just helping them to grow up to be, like you said, better men, better fathers, right? So I'm really, really excited to dive into that conversation. So I'm just going to let Mwai take it away with a couple of questions, because she has a son, so I'm pretty sure she has a lot that she'd just like to know.
So, I mean, the reason I was really, really keen to have a conversation with you is because of the work that you're doing. We are basically mental health advocates as well as holistic wellness advocates, right? And in all of this, we look at how somebody can be better, men and women, how we can be better just, in our whole being, in our entirety. And what we're finding is that, okay, we're having very, very good conversations, et cetera. And what we're finding is that the men within our community are really struggling. They're really, really struggling. And I mean, because we're in this community, we speak to a couple of them, et cetera, and there's some that are really, really willing, to actually start conversations, to actually do whatever they feel they could do to be better men, but they don't know how, So when I saw your page, I was like, I'm so blown away, because like I said, well, like Colina said, I have a son, but I mean, I'm a single mother, right? And doing this alone is quite hard, but I want to be able to say that when my son is grown, he has a community of men that he can look up to that will guide him, in the right way, that will mold him and all of that. But at the moment, I'm scared for my son. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he doesn't have, I mean, his father's not involved. And this is also like a tricky area because, I mean, I try and respect it so that I don't, it's never bashing or anything. So as a single mom, even speaking about that area is quite challenging because, you know, So I really just want to know, like, the vision that you have, you know, for men within your community, how you came about to reaching that vision, you know, like what steps have you taken and what steps do you want to take to continue to grow? Because over here, we want to have this conversation with you so we can learn how we can help our men over here, you know?
Right. Well, I appreciate you sharing the details about your situation, and I really applaud you for not shaping a negative impression of your son's father to your son. I think that's very important. It's not my business what the details are, but just being able to allow him to grow up and even have a neutral opinion about his father versus a negative before he has an opportunity to understand who his father is as a person, I think that's a big deal. So I applaud you for doing that. My platform really started in a selfish sense. My oldest son, so I have two sons, as I mentioned, and I always want to make sure that people know that I'm a girl dad too. So the Dear Son podcast, what I find with the women listeners is that the principles are applicable. Maybe they're having the same issues, you know, mother and daughter or mother and son. So I just want to be clear on that. I'm not alienating my daughters, and they let me know often that you have daughters too. But I found myself in a place where I was somewhat paralyzed in how to make decisions when it came to my son. My father and I grew up with my father in the home. I have nothing bad to say about my father. We just didn't click at a certain point. Like I didn't want to live by his rules, and he wasn't going to change the rules for a child, which, you know, a parent shouldn't necessarily do. But it created this absence of communication. So we would literally be in the same house and not really communicate. And I know when I got to high school and when I got my driver's license here in the States, and I was around the age of 16, I would kind of time my day so that when my dad was coming home, I'm leaving. So I'm kind of maximizing the time apart, minimizing the time that we had to really communicate and for me to get the information that I needed. Well, fast forward that story, when I'm actually able to leave the house, I left. But I didn't have the information that I needed to conduct myself as a man in society, you know, how to manage, you know, my actions, my behavior, how to manage bills and responsibilities, how to love and respect women in a romantic way. You know, I had a mother and a sister, so I understood the importance of women, but just absent those conversations, I found myself really trying to wing it, and it didn't always work out. So reflecting on that, my son was coming to that age in 2021 when I started this podcast. Actually, the idea was in 2020, and I ran from it for a year and finally put up the first episode in 2021 in September. But I was attempting to parent my son the way that I wanted to be parented, which was hands off and you know, kind of leave me alone, let me do my own thing. But that's not what my son wanted, because we're clearly two different people. And, you know, I was in this limbo of how should I parent him? Like, you know, I didn't have that relationship with my dad like I should have during that stage. So I didn't know what the expectation should be. And I started this podcast as a means of holding myself accountable, because I knew if I put it out there into the public, there's an accountability factor for me that I needed to continue the conversation, because it didn't start off me saying I'm a great father. And even today, a lot of my content doesn't necessarily highlight me thinking that I'm a great father. It highlights the things that I'm learning along the way and the things that I still need to work on. So to be clear to your audience, I'm not a genius by any stretch. I'm just willing to share some of the experiences that I've had and the lessons that I've learned through bumping my head and running into walls that I don't want my son or any other man to run into. So the theory is that I'll curate a collection of conversations of various topics that will be helpful to men as they develop in various stages of life. Sometimes in the intro, I say these are the conversations that I want my son to access as he grows through life and he becomes a man. And that's really what it is. I want it to be a library of content that when, whether it's a man, every man is a son. So it's applicable, whether they have children or not. When they come to a certain point in life, maybe the way that a conversation is curated on my platform will set a light bulb off, will give them some revelation, or give them courage to kind of push through a challenge that they may be having.
You were preaching. And what really stuck out for me was the bit about, you know, accountability and just, you know, being able to say, hey, I'm out here, I'm not perfect, but like, I'm just trying to like pave a way in which we could, you know, do this thing like in a better way, and like where your son has access to, you know, these conversations that are inspiring, you know, these conversations that help men or children to be shaped in like in a better way. I think you mentioned something about one of your children having turned 9 today.
So I have a 9 and an 8-year-old. My 8-year-old is the 8-year-old is the youngest son, and he turned 8 about a month ago.
Oh, okay. Okay. My bad. I thought I missed that you said someone had turned, it was someone's birthday today. So there was something that she sent me that really stood out for me. And like, I think, it's also something that like resonated with me quite a lot. It's a post that you'd said, you say, dear son, I love you in words and actions, and I pray that they never conflict, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something that really resonated with me, because I know like from experience that it's very hard for people to like, you know, follow their words with actions, to like strike that balance where they say, you know, they say something and like they follow through with their actions. Cause I grew up with an absent father. So like he was present for a little bit when I was like younger, but like he wasn't a very pleasant person to be around. So then like my mother left him, and we left together as a family. And then, you know, she decided, oh, I want my kids to grow up with their father. But then a year later, after getting back with him, my mom died, and then my dad was absent after that. I only saw him again like once in 10 years, and then he later on passed on. And like it resonated with me because his words and his actions, you know, never matched, you know. And like now having like moved past it and like forgiven him, and like, you know, being able to just say, okay, he was who he was, and I'm not going to let that define me or like identify myself to say, oh, I wasn't worthy of my father being present or something like that. But like I want to know, like, from you, like, you know, having experienced that, like, how do you strike that balance to say your words and your actions rather are constantly matching, and like you make sure that you're consistently matching your words with your actions? Because I know it's a very difficult balance, like even for myself. Yeah. Say I'm going to go to the gym every day, you know, you better do that every day, wake up, go to the gym, and my actions are I don't wake up and go to the gym. So how do you strike that balance, especially where like a child is concerned?
Right, so that post was, I meant it in a very literal sense, as you know, in line with what you just explained. The other part for me that wasn't so obvious in the written words is that I need to make sure that I'm using enough words, period. Men in general, and I can speak very candidly about my family, we didn't use words a lot. There were actions, you know, there was provision, that you know, there's food on the table, there's these things that suggest that there's love and meant that there's love. And I don't ever slight my father on the platform, but we didn't talk. So there was us growing apart and losing communication because of space, but we didn't take advantage of the opportunity where we were in close proximity to have meaningful conversations about everything. You know, we had conversations about religion, and you know, like there were rules. I was clear on what the expectations were from a rule perspective and how to represent the family name, but I didn't think that there was an opportunity to talk to my dad about some of the softer skills in life, that really kind of dictates your path in life and experiences that you have is how you're able to communicate, how you're able to articulate, and how you're able to interact with people, because nobody can go through this life alone. So to answer your question more directly, my son appears on a podcast, and it's not the fact that he appears on a podcast that answers your question, but we have the conversations about how am I doing, what's changed since the last time we talked about this thing. And my interest in having him on the show is I want him to be the, I want him to have input on the person that I think I'm becoming, because it's one thing for me to assume that I'm becoming something, but if it's not resonating with him and showing him how to become the best version of him, it's all for naught. So it's a lot of times the conversations are uncomfortable, at least from the outside looking in. Because of repetition, I'm very, it's a lot easier for me to communicate one, and then to tell the story as it really happened. You know, where I failed, where I've done well, and where I can do better. So we have those conversations, and the good thing is my son is way more emotionally mature at 15 than I was, and even my 8-year-old son than I was. So what I had to realize is that I need to parent my children for who they are going to be, not who I want them to be. For who they are, right? Because a lot of parenting is best effort, right? You have a perspective on life, you have some experiences, and then you try to guide your child or your children based on your lens of what happened. And that's oftentimes the best we can do, but sometimes we do it to a fault where we don't actually consider that they are people too, right? Mm-hmm. The one thing that I'm glad my son is saying is that, and I didn't appreciate about my father, is he's seeing me grow up too. And I think sometimes as children, we can judge up to a degree until we have the responsibility of children, of family, of something more than us, that we get that perspective of, you have to make a decision. It's not going to always be right, but you always need to adjust. And sometimes as parents, we choose not to adjust because we're the adult and they're the child.
Yeah. Wow. That was something. Gosh, I feel like this is just a lot. Like, it's just a lot. Like, I'm getting it, and it's like, just to hear the way that you articulate it, I mean, the way you explain it all is so beautiful, you know, like things that we haven't really been able to put into words ourselves, and the way that you are doing so as a man and as a father, and with a commitment to being better and just being vulnerable and authentic, and also I love the openness. It's so refreshing, right? You know, I want us to be able to have these conversations with men here, you know, like the way that you're thinking, the mindset and everything. And the point that you made on you know, you didn't actually know how to parent, yet your child needed you to be a different parent from what you knew. So, right. I mean, I'm assuming that led to you then, you know, like actively going on this learning journey yourself. I love the fact that you're having these conversations, but like, I want to ask, like, for learning, like, more than these conversations, what do you do? Like, how do you ensure that it's actually integrated and ingrained in your life and your family's life? Like, are you having several conversations? What else are you doing to learn how to be better? How are you building the community?
Yeah, so it's interesting how it works out, because it focusing on the specific relationship with one member of my family opened my eyes to opportunities with all the members of my family. So even within my house, where all the children live all the time and I have a lot of influence over them, they can't all be parented the same way. So it's understanding the nuances of each child in my house and also my wife, which we have another podcast where her and I talk about our journey as a married couple through the lens of all of these ups, you know, all of our twists and turns in life and having the children and where we've lived and what we've experienced. And just being able to communicate better, I was a great communicator outside of my house in corporate America, because I had to be. And the more that I saw myself failing at home, I kind of doubled down on my corporate experience, because that's something that I was doing good, and people, that was kind of a pseudo praise that came with that. Attaboy, you're doing something well. So I abandoned the work for a long time over the, you know, once COVID slowed the world down, but specifically my household, I wasn't traveling so much. And I realized how much I like my family. And that's different than loving and providing. And I think I had robbed them of a relationship based on me liking them. Like, what experiences does that drive us just being, like me just being fond of each individual in the house. So it's the specific things, that the nuances that I had to, that were exposed based on my specific focus on the son and around this podcast. But that's kind of the work internally, is riding the ship with each of them individually, but still being a leader in the household. So oftentimes what you'll see on my platform is me getting perspective from other men in other situations, other stages of life, because I think that's important too. The moment that I know everything, the kingdom crashes. So I have to be in a constant state of being open to more new, different, and better information, and applying it quicker. Because there's one thing to have the right information, but if you don't implement it at the right time or the most opportune time, you're basically just a repository of words that don't really facilitate the right actions and relationships in and around you.
Oh yeah, that's profound. I'm so glad that, you know, you were able to come to a place where you were like, oh, I actually really like my family. And like, I know it came at a time when, like, you know, there was COVID and everything was like, you know, thrown off balance and stuff like that. I'd like to look at that as a blessing in disguise.
Absolutely. Yeah. I used to travel a lot. We lived in the UAE. We lived in Dubai for a few years, but for the majority of my professional career, I've managed international contracts. So throughout different parts of Africa, Afghanistan, Iraq, Haiti, you know, some other places throughout the world that aren't always the most developed, or they're not necessarily vacation spots, is where my company worked. So us living overseas taught us a lot about being a family, because we were, one thing that was common in Dubai, at least for expats, is you're kind of fending for yourself, because it's one thing to go to travel for the sake of vacation or holiday. It's another thing when you uproot yourself and your family, and you subject yourself to another culture, another set of rules. And you're, you know, literally thousands of miles away from anyone or anything that you really knew. And we had to get closer because of that. So that was a growing period. There were growing pains as well, but that was one phase of our story that really, really developed us. Because when you're all you have, you know, it kind of goes one of two ways, right? You kind of work it out, or you come back enemies. And I thank God that we were able to have the experience. My children were able to gain a perspective of the world through their eyes and not through propaganda. So that is one thing in our journey that has actually helped facilitate where I am in this process now, because we have that reference to, you know, all we got is us. And, you know, they know that I have their best interests at heart, even if my, you know, my words and actions don't clearly articulated all the time. You know, we had that experience as a family that really shaped how we move and operate now, and how we see the world now.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I hear that. I wanted to ask, okay, I just, like today, I think I just recently sent this to someone sent me a report about like the suicide rates in my country, which is Malawi. Like, as of starting from January 2023 to now, up to like the end of January, they've been like 39 suicides reported. 39 cases of people succumbing to suicide, and like 37 amongst those people are men, you know, that have succumbed to suicide, and 2 are women. And I know that is as a result of like not having like in my culture, like men are not encouraged to feel, men are not encouraged to talk about things because they're deemed as weak. I don't know if it's the same in your culture as well.
Yeah.
But like when men, like, you know, want to talk about how they're feeling, people like deem them as weak, and like for the most part they just like suffer in silence, you know. So I noticed that your tagline was what I wish my father told me, like on your podcast. Is there anything specific that you wish your father told you? I know it can't be like summed up in one word, but like, is that something you can describe, or like the kind of relationship? I know you like touched on like what you wish happened, you know, like how you wish you interacted, like both on your part and on your dad's part. But like, right. Is something that you could like sum up for me in a sense to say, this is what I wish he told me?
I wish, and I can generalize it and still answer your question. I wish he gave me more context to his actions. Like if there was a rule in the house, I get it that we have to obey the rules, but why that rule was important to him, or why a certain lifestyle was important to him, or why the interaction with my mom was what it was. And it was positive, but understanding the why behind some of what he said and what he did would have definitely helped me understand manhood a lot better sooner. And here's an example of what I'm saying is, like when I got married, my wife and I came from different households. Like the way that her family interacts and the way that my family interacts, very different. Both loving, nothing bad to say about either, but just different. And I came into the relationship trying to mimic my father's actions. And my father's actions worked in the household with my mother. I didn't marry my mother. So me mimicking the actions that I saw didn't necessarily resonate with my wife, but I think that I'm being a good husband and a good father because that's what I saw, not realizing that there's nuances in every household and you have to adjust. So some things were forced in a sense, not in a bad way or like physical force, but trying to make what worked there work in my house, and it just didn't. And at that time, I wasn't a great communicator, kind of like my dad. We didn't, you know, he was always in the church, an elder, the treasurer, and people knew my family very well for being part of that, you know, the church. So that was an expectation set there. But even then, I didn't know the why. Right. And I don't know what your belief systems are, but I use the analogy of, you know, I was very good at understanding religion, but I didn't have a relationship with God. So it's like you can mimic what you see, and it yields the applause of man because they're looking at the surface, but not knowing the why behind some of those conversations, and, you know, always standing in a child's place doesn't always work out. You know, I don't know if that's a phrase that's used in your culture, but it's one that's used you know, throughout the U.S. pretty frequently, is, you know, stay in a child's place, you know, speak when spoken to, you answer, you don't ask, and, you know, just kind of, that's how life is managed to a large degree. But yeah, so the real back end of my answer, I wish I had more context about why my dad did some of the things that he did, by saying specific stuff to me.
Wow. I'm so blown away. And it's such a shame, because Kalina will close. She'll lead us into closing, but it's such a shame that we've got 5 minutes only left. I honestly feel like we do need like a part two at some stage, because I am literally mind blown, you know. I can't wait to share this conversation with people, because I mean, and the fact that you say that you never even knew how to articulate yourself, I mean, as in you didn't know, that's something that you learned, and look at you now, like blowing us away. Like,
oh, I appreciate that.
Who does that? Yeah. So I mean, I would love to hear more. We really need to get what you're doing over there, like somehow transferred to our community of men. We would love them to learn from you as well. Like, wow. Yeah,
I'm sure we can figure that out. Yeah, and I'm open to more conversations.
That would be amazing. Yeah. That would be so great. Wow, thank you so much.
No problem.
It really sucks that we have to go, but like, I especially liked that thing you said about, I wish I understood the context of his actions.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, you know, I kept thinking to say, like, for the most part, when someone does something, say hurtful or something unkind, we're thinking, why? You know, what is the reason behind that? And I just wish that people were like, you know, a lot more communicative about the whys of why they do the things that they do. And like, context is like really important, because now I'm also thinking, maybe for him, like you said, you learned what he was doing, and that's what you started to mimic when you got into your marriage. And like, for him, I'm thinking that was what he also learned. And I'm just glad that like, we're, you know, creating a generation of like men who are being taught different, like women and women alike who are being taught different. And I really, really, really would have loved to like have like, I don't know, 24 hours of your time and just talking about this, but like my colleague, like Mwai said, we should definitely plan on doing a part two. And like, I absolutely love the work that you're putting out there. I absolutely love how you're raising your children. Yeah. How, like, I love the impact that you have on like the male community. Like, I actually just mentioned to my boyfriend that I was doing a podcast with you today, and he's like, oh, I've actually come across his content on Instagram, and like, I absolutely love
it. You're kidding.
Yeah,
cool.
So,
very cool.
You have seen it?
Yeah, he has. He's seen it, and he was like, "Oh, I came
up
on Instagram," and I was like, "Oh, look at that!" And like I mentioned to you earlier, that there were some people like who had sent it in some groups, and I was just like, because I initially thought you were from Malawi, because I was like, a lot of Malawians like, you know, responding to this really well, and they like this content, so I assumed you were Malawian. And then Mario was like, no, he is not Malawian at all. So it just goes to say, the impact that you have is like absolutely amazing. Yeah. And thank you so much for your contribution to society. Mm-hmm. And we have to wrap up. Do you have any final words? I know we'll definitely like come back and like have more conversations, but is there any like final words in like 30 seconds before we can wrap up?
I appreciate the opportunity. It really blows my mind daily that my content resonates with people. Not that it resonates with people, but I'm not doing it for attention. And some of the messaging that I get based on what I post shows that, you know, definitely I'm not alone in how I'm feeling. And I know that through conversations with other men, but just seeing how it resonates around the world is humbling and encouraging. So, you know, I don't know where God is going to take this, but I'm along for the ride, and I look forward to continuing the conversation. And I am very serious about Africa 2024. You may see that I might start hashtagging that, but I definitely want my family to see it. I've been to Kampala, Uganda, and I've been in Djibouti, and I'm aware of other countries, but I haven't touched the soil. So looking forward to that.
I would definitely actually see what we could do. I would love to like have you here, because you know, we're working on a number of things at the moment, and events, etc., and mental health and wellness conversations are actually, you know, we are actually getting some traction, and we want to be able to say, okay, men, you know, like, here's how we're plugging you as well, you know.
Yeah.
All right. I see the time is up, but thank you again. I appreciate you guys. God bless.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Have a good evening.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.